Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and for this Gay Pride weekend, let's talk about one of the most hostile countries in the world in which to be gay. In Kenya, consensual sex between gay men is punishable by up to 14 years in prison. There have been no convictions, but there are pending court cases, although that could change. Lawmakers there are even eyeing stricter laws in neighboring Uganda that have gotten a lot more press here as inspiration. So joining us now in the studio is an LGBT activist from Kenya who is protecting his safety by simply going by the name Ken from Kenya. Welcome to WNYC. I'm very happy to have you here.
Thank you.
And you are here, as I said, under a pseudonym. We can't use the name of the advocacy group you work for in Kenya, though we can say you're here with the support of American Jewish World Service for Gay Pride Month and in New York City for the Pride Parade. How dangerous is it for you in Kenya and even by extension here if people knew your real identity?
In Kenya, it's not that safe to be like out and gay and flying all over with rainbow colors. One, it may land you into prison if the community will not stone you to death. Then again, it might also land you into a refugee camp.
So people are actually getting stoned to death in their communities for being gay. Does that actually happen?
Yeah, it happens, and even some are like chased away from their houses. And because here you are chased from the family, you run to like urban center, you rent a house. Again, the landlord again chases you away, exposes you to the community, and so it becomes like terrible for you.
Is it different in different parts of the country? I've been to Kenya, Nairobi, big teeming city like New York. I've been out in the countryside, little villages. How different is it from place to place?
In a very rural setup, it's very dangerous because there's so much of communal bonding, and there's so much of like they want everything to be done right according to the expectation, and everybody matters. It's like everybody wants to know what's happening to so-and-so's son. But in urban, it's like most people don't care. But when issue comes up, they really want to be part of it, and yeah.
And where are you from? What was it like for you when you were first coming out?
When I was coming out, it was not all that easy. Putting into mind the very social unit in a very cultural setup, and so it becomes like so difficult, like to come out. Even how do you begin?
And you were more from a country kind of setting, right?
Yeah.
So what's every day like for you in Kenya as an activist? Do you have to remain anonymous there as well? Or if it's so dangerous to be out as a gay man and out as a gay activist, how do you do your work to try to bring change?
It's very difficult and unfortunate that we have to live a life of a lie. We need to have like six names depending on where you are. You don't like live your own life. Today you are called Ken, tomorrow you are called Peter, tomorrow you are called this name, depending on the context. So how we do our work in such kind of a setup is the painful stories we hear from our friends, experiences we go through. These are the stories and issues that give us strength to work amidst all these challenges.
Listeners, some of you from Africa, any country in Africa, some of you especially from Kenya, 212-433-WNYC. Talk about the gay rights movement in that part of the world from your experience as an immigrant, what you know from back home, or anyone else, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for our guest Ken here for Gay Pride Week from Kenya, who definitely wants to get his story out, his country's story out. And all of that. Why? Well, Jim in the Bronx has a question that I was going to ask next, so I'm going to let Jim ask the question. Hi, Jim, you're on WNYC.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've read and heard that American evangelical Protestants have been going to Uganda and maybe Kenya also to promote anti-gay legislation, that they've used the example of gay marriage in the United States and Europe as a kind of what they see as an abomination, that Africans should avoid at all costs, and that a certain amount of this legislative persecution is actively supported by American evangelicals. Does your guest know anything about that, one way or the other? I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, it is true. We are having a very funny experience in Africa, and more especially in East Africa, from very extreme evangelicals. And these people are only taking advantage of Africans' vulnerability and poverty, in a sense that they come with hospitals, they come with schools, they come with water projects. And so the community for it to get these services, they have like to follow exactly what they say. But in the original African context, before the Bible came in, there were not so harsh penalties for homosexuals. They were accepted, and then they had their own corrective measures. But when the Bible and the evangelicals really came in, they really polluted everything, and they came with so many goodies. And so they are taking advantage of vulnerability and poverty in Africa to spread their hate message.
That's pretty serious. And what about fundamentalist Islamic groups? Strange bedfellows with the fundamentalist Christians who might otherwise hate each other?
Now the Muslims now make it worse. And you can see a case like in Uganda, in Nigeria.
Make it worse.
Yeah, they make it worse. You find a case like in Nigeria where we have very strong Muslim background and very strong Christian fundamentals. They gang up together and they made things worse.
And yet, as shocking as these stories are, the UN Refugee Agency has said that Kenya could be a safe haven for gays fleeing discrimination in Uganda, where conditions are even worse. So can you compare Kenya to other countries in the region in East Africa? And could it be a UN safe haven?
UN have very nice policies and research. But again, when you look at it on the ground, like let us take the refugee camp, how refugees, Kenya might be safe for, a little bit safe for an LGBTI person. But is the UNHCR camp safe for an LGBTI person? How many LGBTI refugees have died in the camp? How many LGBTI refugees are HIV positive in the camp and nobody cares about their nutrition, nobody cares about their support? So Kenya might be relatively safe for an LGBTI person, but UNHCR and the camp process is a bit complicated.
Rachel in Suffern, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Rachel.
Hi, good morning. I was wondering, I've met an activist from Uganda, and he said that his family has fled to Kenya. And I was wondering whether there's an influx of refugees facing LGBT persecution in other countries in Africa that you've encountered, and how you sort of, if you know, what how the situation compares to neighboring countries in your country.
Thank you. The situation in Uganda became worsening after the issue of anti-homosexuality bill, and you can imagine so many refugees were flying when they are crossing the border to Kenya, when the issue was still under discussion. And so when the bill was passed, things became worse for them. Nothing so strong has like happened in Uganda, but again, there's that fear of unknown, that LGBTI Ugandans and activists really do not know what is happening. And so they are really like fleeing. When you go to the Kakuma refugee camp, you find that the biggest number of LGBTI refugees in the camp are from Uganda. The number is increasing. So that tells you that there's something wrong and there's something crazy in Uganda that is making this number like go up.
Peter in Rutherford, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you? Brian, thanks for giving us the opportunity to talk about this. So I'm a Ghanaian American. I visited Ghana last month. I spent a month there. Fortunately for gay people in Ghana, it's not that hostile so far. But that being said, there's still the idea of the topic not coming up. it's still a household dining hall, dining room table discussion only. On the religious front, it's only been discussed. That prevents people that are originally gay from actually coming out and living their lives openly. I have gay friends here in the United States that had wanted to, for instance, visit Ghana with me when I was visiting, but they could not, you know, decipher whether or not to go or not to. And it's all because it's not being talked about. So thanks for doing this. I believe it's about time that Africa as a whole picks up the microphone and raise your hand to say it's and talk about it openly. For gay rights policies to start coming up.
By the way, Peter, if I can digress for just a moment, what's it been like to be Ghanaian in our area the last week with the World Cup? I think Ghana is the new Boston. You know, like it's Yankees, Red Sox, Ghana, Ghana, U.S. is the big rivalry now over several World Cups.
Yeah, surprisingly, the last 4 years it was the opposite. I could see myself as being the only Ghanaian cheering in an American pub. This year, it was the opposite, and I think all in all, it's a well-deserved advance for the United States. So congratulations,
Peter. Thank you very much. But to his story about being gay in Ghana and his friends here not even knowing if it's safe to go there and visit. What is it about this part of the world? Could we be sitting here having this conversation with activists from Southeast Asia, from East Asia, from Latin America? Or is there something, it feels like there's something about some of the African countries now, Kenya, Uganda, he talked about Ghana, Nigeria, Tunisia, Senegal, maybe also over into the Middle East with some of the heavily Muslim countries. It seems like these are the ones that get listed as the most dangerous countries in the world in which to be gay. Mm-hmm. What is it about Africa?
I would really encourage Peter's friends to visit Africa. Story sharing is one of the most important avenues for self-awareness.
Sharing stories.
Being in the United States, I've learned a lot. I've learned how they struggled and up to where they are. It never just came overnight. So when Peter's friends visit Ghana and they share their story with the Ghanaian LGBTIs people there, then it will help them also to come out. We will never achieve our space if we don't come out and say, this is who we are. We are your children. This is the courage we have. This is the courage we have gained to face you. And so Africa may not be all that grave as we think it is. It's only about us coming out and telling people, making our parents, our relatives, our neighbors understand who we are. Once they will understand that, then... and of course, we need to get support, like courage, how to come out, such kind of things, yeah.
Were you on Capitol Hill yesterday? I heard that you were. You were in Washington?
I was there a couple of days ago. A
couple of days ago in D.C.?
In D.C., yeah.
Did you meet with members of Congress?
We met around 6 members from Senate offices. I went to different Senate offices trying to talk to them and encouraging them and asking the American people to support the International Human Rights Act bill that is being brought in the Senate, so that if that bill goes through, then it will be a great avenue.
What would that bill do? Do you know?
When that bill comes into place, it becomes an act, and then it becomes like in the part of the Constitution.
Part of U.S. law.
Part of the U.S. law. So that when the White House is giving sanctions to any country in Africa, it has a backing behind it. Because now what happens is the White House may give a sanction but has not that strong backing. But when it has that law and backing, it will be
more political support. And yeah. President Obama has said that anti-gay legislation in Kenya could hurt ties with the United States. Do you think the U.S. should place economic sanctions on Kenya and other countries that are very hostile to gay people there?
We appreciate some of these decisions and some of these sanctions being put in place. But again, it's very, very important that before these sanctions are put into place, like a visibility study be done on the ground on the impact of these sanctions on the LGBTI activism in Africa? How is it going to affect the ongoing activism and the backlash that it will carry with it? So it is very important that before these sanctions are given out, activists and people on the ground be consulted, and so that we have a very common working environment that is good for the U.S. policy and also good for the activism work.
Just before you go, this is your first time in the States, your first time in New York.
Sure.
How big is the culture shock?
It's so big. Sometimes, like, when I'm moving some places, I'm like, this is not real. It's just one world with different stories.
Like what? What are you going to take home? When you go home and you say, gosh, I spent a few days in New York, and you wouldn't believe what?
New York, of all the cities in the U.S., New York is crazy. New York, I can compare with some streets in Nairobi where people are so busy, but again, people are so friendly. People are just, there are a lot of mix-up. In the streets, you hear different languages, and I'm like, this is like the whole world brought together in New York.
The whole world brought together in New York, definitely. Yeah. You going to the Pride Parade this weekend?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. That is one of the greatest things I'm looking forward to.
You ever been to one anywhere?
No.
Going to be a party. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
LGBT activist from Kenya, simply by going as Ken from Kenya in our studio today, out of fears for his safety. And we thank American Jewish World Service for setting him up with us for this visit today. And thank you, and good luck to you.
Welcome.